So we're starting today from a very famous Mishnah, which we say every day in our davening. Tnan hatam elu dvarim she'en lahem shi'ur. Hapeah v'habikurim v'harayon u'gilul chasadim mitomud Torah. There's a big question. What does this mean, ein lahem shi'ur? Does it mean that there's no minimum and there's no maximum? Or does it mean that there's just no maximum? You can continually do these things and keep fulfilling the mitzvah. You know, the more you do, the better, maybe it means. Right? It's unclear exactly how to understand this, right? Even though we say this every day, I don't know if you've ever really thought about what this means. So we're going to really deal today with the Ra'ayon. We're not going to get into the details of all the others, which obviously, if we were doing a more in-depth shiur, we try to analyze how these are all understood. Okay, so let's just go through what they are. Pe'az, the corner of your field that you leave for the poor. The Bikurim, you bring your first fruits from Parashat Shavua this past week to the Beit HaMikdash. The Ra'ayon we're going to talk about now is the mitzvah of Re'iyah, which we're going to now decide what, we're going to again have this argument, what is Re'iyah? Is Re'iyah coming to the Beit HaMikdash? You can come as many times as you want within the Chag. Or does it mean bringing sacrifices? And you can bring as many sacrifices as you want, or even, again, remember, it might mean also there's no minimum. Okay? That you can bring as little as you want, you can come as less time as you want. What exactly that means, we'll have to see. Ugmilu chasadim, okay, and Talmud Torah. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kisvurim anu lomar. We thought that it meant to say, ha-ra'yon ein lo shi'or lamala, ava yesh lo shi'or lamata. So Rabbi Yochanan said, originally we thought that it meant that there's no maximum, but there is a minimum. Ad sheba Rabbi Yoshaya b'Rebbe, v'limed, ha-ra'yon ein lo shi'or lo lamala v'lo lamata. Okay, until Rabbi Yoshaya, the son of Rebbe came and he taught us, okay, that Ra'ayon, it doesn't have a minimum and it doesn't have a maximum. Okay, now there's a very confusing sentence that comes next. Aval chachamim omrim ha-ra'aya me'a kesef ha-chigiyah shtea kesef. Even though, now, it's unclear how you read this. Does it mean that Rabbi Yoshaya said this, but the Chachamim disagree with him? Okay, that seems to be the pshat from the wording here. Aval Chachamim Omrim, right? Whenever you say Chachamim Omrim, it means they bring an alternate opinion. So Rabbi Yoshaya b'Rebbe said there's no minimum and there's no maximum. But Chachamim said, no, there's a minimum. And that's what we saw in our Mishnah, that there's a minimum, right? That it has to be Me'ah Kesef. Okay, or the Machloka B'Chama B'Hillah, what it is. But if you look, there's a little aleph there, and the aleph sends you to Hagahor Abach, okay? And here it says, Aval Amru Chachamim, okay? The Hagahor Abach is on the inside. If you have the tablet, you're not going to be able to see this. Rashi also says it. He says, the very end of Rashi on Aval Chachamim, it says, Aval Amru Chachamim Garsina. Aval Amru Chachamim is something else. Chachamim Amri means they argue, but Aval Amru Chachamim means that when Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yoshaya were talking about is there a minimum, is there a maximum, that's all Mida Oraita. The Mida Oraita, there's no minimum and there's no maximum. But the Chachamim came along, meaning it's a Derabanan. Mida Rabbanan, the rabbis put in a minimum shear so that it didn't become embarrassing and people would just bring almost nothing. So, two different ways to read this Gemara. Okay, Rashi clearly takes that approach that it's Doraita Derabanan. And it's Mida Oraita, there's no shear at all. Right, originally Rabbi Yochanan thought maybe there was a minimum shiur midoraita. Came Rabbi Yoshaya and taught him, no, midoraita, there is no minimum, and obviously no maximum. And then the Chachamim came along and they instituted midorabanan, a minimum.
Do they do maximum also?
No, there's no maximum. Okay? So now we're going to see, though, what this maximum is. Not everybody agrees about what exactly the maximum is. Not meaning money-wise, but meaning what issue are we talking about maximum? What's interesting here, actually, now that I think about it, is the statement of Chachamim comes to imply that it's talking about the Korban, but we're going to see in a minute now that it's not necessarily an argument about the Korban. It could be an argument about how many times you come into the Beit HaMikdash, or maybe not, we're going to see. But it doesn't necessarily mean a maximum financially. So my ha-ra'ayon. So now they want to know what is the ra'ayon, and we're going to have a big machloket here. Okay, if you look at the chart for 1 minute, I want to just show you. There's going to be Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish's opinion, okay? That's, each one has their own opinion about what is Ra'ayon. Then we're going to have one explanation of this machloket, saying that they don't disagree about everything, they only disagree about something in particular. We're going to have three questions on Rabbi Yochanan, we're going to answer them up. We're going to have a question on Rish Lakish, and we're going to basically say, because of this contradiction within Rish Lakish, We have no answer for it. We're going to reject this understanding. And then they're going to have a second understanding of the machloket. Okay? And then they're going to have a question of Rish Lakish and an answer. Okay? So that's going to be our... First, we're going to understand the machloket in one way. Then we're going to understand it differently.
Very quickly. Couldn't the difference between what Rabbi Shaya says and what the Chachamim say, that one would be talking about a mountain, one would be talking about the number of times? That is... Rabbi Shai said you could mean that you can go as few times or as many times, and Rabbi Shai said yes, but when you...
That could be.
Because it wouldn't be a contradiction. Then.
Right, that definitely is a possibility. The way the Gemara sets it up, though, it's hard to say because it says aval. Aval, Chachamim, if they didn't have the word aval, then maybe you could say that, in other words, because then it would just be Chachamim say that there's a... The Gemara doesn't set it up as if that's the case. It could be, though, that it's definitely a possibility.
Right either, so.
Well, it depends how you read it. Aval amru chachamim would be, doraita, doraita derabanan issue. You have to see. Maybe there's different nuschaot. I didn't look in the Dictu Kei Sofri. Maybe the word aval doesn't appear in all the nuschaot. Right? Clearly, there was some nusach issue here. Right. Okay. It's definitely a possibility. So now, what is Rayon? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Riyat Panim Bazara. Okay? Rish Lakish Amar Riyat Panim B'Korban. Now, the simple understanding of this machloket would just be very simply, one deals with how many times you go into the Azara, right, according to Rabbi Yochanan, in which case money isn't really such an issue here, because it's not talking about money, it's talking about how many times you come in. And then, unless maybe you say it's staka or something, that you have to bring staka. If we did the way we talked about last time, that there was some Akortanei that said that the chiyuv is staka, and therefore riyapanim would be you come in and you bring some sort of staka, and then maybe you would have a minimum shear for that. Otherwise, I don't really know. V'rish lakish amar riyapanim b'korban. Okay? In other words, my issue is that Rabbi Yochanan comes and says, we thought this, then Rabbi Yosha came and said this, but then Chachamim came and gave an amount to it, right? Which means that there's some sort of financial amount. So it's a little difficult. How did Rabbi Yochanan say it was riyapanim bazara without giving, and yet talked about a financial amount? Okay. So now, they say kach. Be'ikar haregel. Now there's going to be ikar haregel and shar yamot haregel. Now when you put the words ikar haregel on one side, and you put shar yamot haregel on the other, the simple understanding of this, so what are you talking about?
The first day versus the other days.
Okay, that's the assumption here. Because Ikar HaRegel, we talked about Chagiga, if you remember, we had a difference of opinion about now I'm confusing whether it was the Chagiga. Yeah, I think it was the Chagiga. Here they're a little bit intertwining also. We're going to see, it's confusing. Are they only talking about the Re'ir? Are they talking about the Re'ir and the Chagiga? But we talked about that maybe when you do the Chagiga, you have to bring it on the first day, and then all the other days are tashlumin for that. Or maybe each day has its own independent chiyuv, and if you didn't bring it one day, then you're chayav on the next day. So if you take the second approach, then you end up saying that Ikar HaRegel is the first day you end up in the Mikdash. It could be day number 3. It could be day number 6. And the Shar Yamot HaRegel are all the following days. Okay? After you've already come and done your first day in the Beit HaMikdash. So it might mean the first day, it might mean one of the middle days. Either way, it's the first day you get there. Okay? Now, Bikar HaRegel Kuleyama Lo Pligi De Riyat Panim B'Korban. Everybody agrees that on the Ikar Regel, you come into the Beit HaMikdash, even though Rabbi Yochanan says it's Riyat Panim Ba'azaraz, the mitzvah, clearly, he agrees that on the day Ikar HaRegel, you're chayav to bring that all at Riyah. Okay? And that's the Rayon. Okay? On that day. But Diriyah, ki pligi b'shar yamot HaRegel. But the machloket is on all the other days. After you've already brought your all at Riyah, now what happens? Now we have a machloket. Kol hecha de'ata v'ayte. Okay, now before we even get to the machloket, we're going to say one other thing they don't argue about. Every time you come into the Mikdash, let's say you come in on day number 1 and you bring your all at Riyah. And then you come on day number 2, and day number 3, and day number 4, and day number 5. Let's say you decide you want to bring another Ola every day you come. Everybody agrees, again, according to this first understanding, that you're allowed to. There's no problem. What would be the potential problem? Maybe it's Baltosif. You're supposed to bring one Korban. Who said you can bring 2, 3, 4, 5, 6? Right? So everyone agrees... According to this, kulei amal lo pligi d'rapanim b'korban, right? And ki pligi b'shar yamot, right? Kol hecha da'at avayte. Every time he comes Ata is comes and Aite is brings. Every time he comes and brings, everyone agrees that we accept the korban from him. Ki pligi, what's their machloket? Da'ata velo aite. What if he comes on day number two and doesn't bring a korban? Is that okay or is it not okay? Do you have to bring something? To Rabbi Yochanan Savar, Riyat Panim Ba'azara. He says the mitzvah is to come to the Azara. To call Ema Ta'ate, Lo Tzarich La Tuye. Every time you come, you don't necessarily have to bring a korban. Rishlach Yishamar, Riyat Panim Ba'korban. To call Ema Ta'ate, Tzarich La Tuye. Okay, what's this like? It's like you go to someone's house for Shabbos. You bring a gift, right? Generally, Nahug, to bring something out of respect. What if it's your closest friend and you come all the time? After a certain point, you stop bringing gifts, right? You just come. You come empty-handed at that point. So is that that's what Rabbi Yochanan says. The first day you come, you bring your gift. Anytime you come after that, you're invited always to come into the Mikdash. And if you want to bring a gift, you're very welcome to, but you don't have to. And Rish Lakish says, how could, right here, proper manners, how could you walk into someone's house without bringing something, right? How could you walk into God's house and not bring a korban with you? No such thing. So rayon means riyat panim b'korban, ein lo shi'or, meaning every time you come, you have to bring a korban. That's how he explains ein lo shi'or. Okay, you have to keep, every time you come, you have to keep bringing. Okay, in other words, what he means is you can come as many times as you want, but every time you come, you have to bring a korban. Okay, the ein lo shi'or is how many times you come, but once you come, you're already chayav to bring a korban. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan is, no, it's reshut, it's not chovah.
Rabbi Yochanan is not worried about like a certain familiarity leading to a level of disrespect.
So apparently he's not.
He's not.
Right. In other words, there's value to coming into the Mikdash without bringing a sacrifice. Now, what they were doing in the Mikdash is a question, right? What were they doing when they came? I mean, there's a whole, there's so many things to get into. I read in Safrai's book, which is called Mishnat Eretz Yisrael, and it talks about the historical aspect. You know, he comes from a more academic approach, and he talks a little bit about the history, and he claims that you have to read it more in depth and see his whole arguing, but he claims, first of all, he says there's proofs, historical proofs, that all the Jews did not do Aliyah al-Ragel 3 times a year. The fact is, they didn't all come. Yes, a lot of people came. And he actually quotes some book, which was written later, after the time of the Mikdash, a non-Jewish source, which says that the Aliyah LaRegel of the Jewish people was greater than any other Aliyah LaRegel of any other nation. Now, I don't know if there's historical proof for that or not, but it's interesting that he says it, this historian. Anyway, the point is, yes, a lot of people came, but not all the Jewish people. And he claims that really this whole mitzvah of Shalosh B'Mishnah Yireh Kol Zechurcha, it's an optional mitzvah. You don't have to. As in Jews saw it as, I'll take the opportunity, but not necessarily that you must come to the Mikdash 3 times a year. And that's also part of this Ra'ayon Ein Lahem Ein Lo Shi'or, that there's no shi'or of how many times you have to come even. Okay, and that's how it's an interesting approach. I don't know if it's true, but I wanted to bring it up. Okay, so now we're going to bring a few contradictions first to Rabbi Yochanan and then to Rish Lakish. So again, Rabbi Yochanan says it's optional, but you don't have to. You don't have to every time you bring. Etive Rish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, he brings a proof against him. He says, "V'lo yira'u panai rekam." What do you mean? It says in the pasuk, you can't come empty-handed, right? Here's interesting, by the way. We didn't really touch upon this. I think someone mentioned it before, although I don't remember. But the pasuk says, Shalosh pamim b'shana yira'eh kol zechurcha, right? A positive commandment. And then it says, V'lo yira'u panai rekam. It's a negative, right? So you have a little bit of this interplay between positive and negative. In other words, is there a lo taseh? Can you say that the ase is doche the lo taseh? That maybe this mitzvah of coming to the mikdash can push off the lo taseh, and there's a diyun about this. Anyway, he says, "Lo yira'u panai rekam." So Amar Lei, what is Rabbi Yochanan answering? Be'ikar haregel. That's on the first day, right? Or again, the first day you come into the mikdash, maybe it's the third day of the chag, but whatever day you come in and you're chayv and you're chagiga, that day you can't see panai rekam, but after that you can. Okay, and that's going to be his answer to all three questions that Rish Lakish brings. Etive, next question from a braita. V'lo yira'u panai rekam. So now the braita says kacha. Bizvachim ata omer, bizvachim o'ena ela be'ofotu menachot. When you say lo yiru panai rekam, what does rekam mean? Can you bring, right? It's like gifts to people's houses. Is it appropriate to bring, if, let's say you bring food for the meal. Is that enough? Or do you have to bring flowers? Or do you have to bring something more permanent, like a gift for their house that they can won't wither in a few days? So what level of gift are we talking about? So according to the Braita, it says, are we talking about a zebach, like an animal sacrifice? Or could it be, maybe you could even bring a bird sacrifice, which is considered always less important, as it was cheaper. Umenachot, which are made of flour and water. Right? Can you just bring that? Vidinhu. So now he's going to explain it. It's logical. Ne'emra chagiga lehedyot, v'ne'emra ri'ya legavoah. There's a korban chagiga, right, which goes to the person, hedyot, a pashut person, right? V'ne'emra ri'ya legavoah, as opposed to God. Here it's hedyot versus God. The ri'ya goes up to God because it's the ola. Ma chagiga ha'amura lehedyot zvachim. Just like the chagiga has to be a zvachim, it has to be an animal, because the whole idea of the chagiga is to eat meat on the chag. Af ri'ya ha'amura legavoah. Therefore, also the ola ri'ya ha'amura legavoah has to be zvachim. Okay? Umahen zvachim. So now they say, o lo tata omer, o ena ela shlamim. The ri'ya, does it have to be an ola, or could it also be shlamim? Bidinu, it's logical. Ne'emra chagiga lehedyot, v'ne'emra ri'ya legavoa. Ma chagiga hamura lehedyot bira'oilo, af ri'ya hamura legavoa bira'oilo. Okay, one second. Okay. So just like the chagiga is for the hedyot, and what's for the hedyot? The person, what does he need a korban for? To eat. So likewise, the korban for God is for God to eat. How does God eat? We burn it entirely. Okay, that's what it's saying. It's something that's right to God, meaning it goes entirely to God. So just like the chagiga is for us, the ri'ya is legavah. Okay. So now, v'chein bedin, shelo yehe shulchancha male v'shulchan rabcha rekam. And it's also logical because it shouldn't be that your shulchan is male and God's is empty. So what do you see here? You see that whenever you come, right, you have to bring lo yehe shulchan rabcha rekam. Okay, you can't come to the mikdash and eat your korbanot. And let's say you come day number 4, 5, 6, and you bring shalmei simcha and you eat meat there, and God's got nothing. Right? It's like, how could that possibly be? So it must be, according to Rish Lakish, right, that every time you come to the Mikdash, you have to eat. Okay. I'm sorry, you have to bring a sacrifice to God, the Olaria. God has to eat. Amarle b'ikar regel. Again, this whole issue of lo yeshulcham rabcha rekam is only on the ikar regel, the day that you have to bring your chagiga also, and your riyah. Etive, third question. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shalosh regalim b'shana nistavu Yisrael lalo peregel, b'chag ha-matzot, b'chag ha-shavuot, b'chag ha-sukot. Okay, three times you have to go on aliyah l'regel. So far, simple. Ve'ein nir'im chatzain, mishum sh'ne'emar kol zechurcha. Okay, this is a drasha. I'm going to basically say what the drasha is. I'm going to skip it entirely because we're going to see it later in the daf. They're going to explain what is this b'chag. So, from the words kol zechurcha, they learn that ein nir'im chatzain. Okay, I'm going to leave it aside and we'll get to it soon. Ve'ein, and here's the important part for us, ve'ein nir'im rekanim. You can't appear to God rekam. You can't appear without your ola ria. How do we know? Mishum shenemar ve'lo yiru panai rekam. Again, all these drashot are basically the same. They're all saying, lo yiru panai rekam comes to teach us, you have to bring something for God. So again, what's Rabbi Yochanan going to say? Amar le ve'ikar harega. Okay? So three questions, we answer them all up. Now we're going to get to a question of Rish Lakish. So to review Rish Lakish, Rish Lakish says every time you come, you have to bring a korban. So etivei Rabbi Yochanan the Rish Lakish. Here's another braita. Yireh yireh. Remember we had the yireh yireh, the duality. Just like you come to be seen, that's how you're seen. Ma ani bechinam, af atem bechinam. Does God bring you anything when you go? Right? No, he doesn't give you anything. So af ata, you don't have to bring anything to him either. Okay? Interesting, right? It's a little different than the tefisa of going to your friend's house, right? You're going to their house. You're supposed to give them something. But also, when you go to someone's house, they give you something generally, right? So here, God's not giving you anything, so therefore, you're allowed to come without anything. So therefore, They say, therefore, Rish Lakish can't stand in the face of this Braita. Okay? And in the end, we must, how must you explain this Braita compared to the other Braitot? The one Braita, all the other Braitot we saw are talking about the first day you get there. But later on, when you've already given your sacrifice and you've already done what you can, then you can come chinam. Okay? Yes. No, of course it's acknowledgement of all God's given us. And it's impossible to say that God hasn't given us anything. Yes, that is true. However, the point is that when you come, again, they're trying to, they're again, it's almost like when they connect it to a pasuk and they're trying to say an idea that they have, which is you don't need to bring every single time you come because you've already brought, you've already shown your thanks to God. You don't need to keep thanking. You know, you could also say to a certain extent that, you know, when people overthink, it just becomes meaningless. So I think that could be also the concept of Rabbi Yochanan. That is, you don't have to feel this obligation every single time you come. It almost becomes meaningless. You already said your thanks. It was a meaningful thanks. If you keep doing it over and over again, it loses its meaning. That could be a possible way of reading it. Okay, and now we're going to see the Rish Lakish in the end agrees with Rabbi Yochanan about this concept. Okay? Again, there's a different... The problem with my theory is that the question is going to be, and this there's some machloket about, can you bring extra if you want? Now, in the end, we're going to see in a minute that Rabbi Yochanan in the end says you actually can't bring extra, which supports my theory about Rabbi Yochanan. But his theory is it's already mugzam, and it doesn't mean anything anymore. So you can't bring extra. This is your chiyuv, you bring it exactly as you're obligated, and no more than that. Whereas Rish Lakish is going to say you can continually bring if that's what you want to do, in which case you have to come up with a different reason as to what his reasoning is. And his reasoning, again, is based on the fact it's always nice to bring something. It might not be necessary, but it's nice. So that's what we're going to say now. Ella. So now, skip that whole explanation that we had. Ella kol hecha. I'm just going to repeat for 1 minute what the original one was. You can look back at the chart. Originally, we thought that everybody agrees that on the first day you must bring a korban when you come to the Azara. That's clear. And everybody agrees that on the other days, if you want to bring extra, you're allowed to. The question is just, are you obligated to every time you come in to bring a korban? Or can you come empty-handed? Okay? But now we're going to see the machloket is different. Ela kol hecha da'ata v'lo aite. Every time you come but don't bring to kuleyama lo pligi da'aya umitchaze v'nafik. Everyone agrees that if you happen to not have a korban with you, everyone agrees that you can go in, ayel means nichnas, umit chazeh, you can appear before God. Chazeh is the root of to see, like chazon is a vision, right? Vinafik, and then you can go out, okay? Everyone agrees that if you don't have a korban, no problem, okay? As opposed to Rish Lakish before said you have to. Now Rish Lakish agrees and says you don't have to. Ki plige, what's the machloket? Da'ata v'aite. If you do come a second time, right, and third and fourth and fifth, and you bring a korban, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Riyat Panim ba'azara. Riyat Panim hu de'en la shi'ur. When we say harayon en la shi'ur, what do we mean? You can come into the mikdash as many times as you want. Aval halik korban yesh la shi'ur. But the korban has a shi'ur. And the shi'ur of the korban is to bring one korban. And that's it. No more. Okay? And therefore, he says, you basically are over on the chiyuv of Baal Tosif if you add more olat ri'ya. So therefore, you come into the mikdash your first day, you bring your korban. After that, no more korbanot, you're not allowed. V'rish lakish amar ri'yat panim b'korban. When it says, rayon ein la shi'ur, it means the korban. What does it mean, ein la shi'ur? Not that you have to, but if you want to, it's reshut. Dafilu korban nami ein la shi'ur, you can bring as many as you want. Okay, but again, you're not obligated according to this interpretation. So now we're going to bring a question on Rish Lakish. Etive. Hokar raglecha mi beit re'echa. What does that mean? Hokar means you should make it yakar. What is something yakar? It also means rare, not commonplace. Don't do it all the time. So hokar raglecha mi beit re'echa. Beit re'echa here is seen as the house of God. Okay? You should only come into the house of God, right? You should do it not so frequently. Okay? And it means here bringing korbanot. That's how they understand the pasuk. It's a pasuk from Mishlei. So they understand, and it says, here's interesting. The hamshecha of that pasuk is, pen yatfi echa usne echa. Maybe it'll be too much and he'll hate you. Okay? In other words, you'll overdo your stay. So they take it not to mean, though, how many times you come in. Here they take it to mean how many times you bring a korban. And maybe that really supports what I was saying before, that it already is meaningless, right? People get annoyed already. It's enough.
Just a practical question. This is on the personal level. Didn't you have thousands of people that have to come through here and do this?
Yes.
How could they just keep showing up every day like that and do this again? I mean, it doesn't make sense.
So again, first of all, we talked about that historically, maybe it wasn't that, well, again, it was lots of people, but maybe not as many as, you know, as you might think. And it, again, it's talking here about if you want to, not that you have to. So it wasn't that everybody came every day, but I think people felt if they're there, take the opportunity and come every day, just like we go to shul every time, right? We keep going, so why not keep the seize the opportunity? We're already here in Yerushalayim, we already came, let's keep going. Yeah, again, it was a full day. They would come in, they would leave, they would come in, they would leave. What exactly, like I said, it's a question. I didn't really look into this, but what does it mean to come into the Azara and not bring a korban? What were you doing in the Azara? It's another question. I don't know. Right? Remember, they're in the Azara. They're not in where the Kohanim are doing all their sacrificing and all that. So they're certainly not getting in the way there. The question is, what were they doing there? And again, like, how much space was there for everybody? Okay. So now, they say, when it says that's only talking about don't bring too many chataot and ashamot. Why shouldn't you bring too many chataot and ashamot? What is that basically saying? In other words, don't get yourself into situations where you're going to have to bring korbanot for doing averot. So that's really how the pasuk is understood. In other words, but if you want to bring olot and shlamim, go for it. Bring as many as you want. That's great. That's Rish Lakish's approach. That's how Rish Lakish understands this. And not only does he say this, but he has support. Kid Rabbi Levi, he holds like Rabbi Levi. To Rabbi Levi, Rabbi Levi said Rami. He said there's a contradiction. Rami has put two sources up against each other. They contradict, and how are we going to explain them? K'tiv ho'karag lechami beit re'acha. On the one hand, it says, don't go all the time. U'k'tiv avo beitcha be'olot. It says, I'm going to come to your house with olot. Ashalem lecha nidarei. I'm going to pay up my dues, my nidarim. Okay, it sounds like you can come with lots of them. So lo kashya, kam b'chataot v'ashamot, and kam b'olot u'shlamim. Again, he makes that distinction, which is exactly how Rish Lakish answers this question. The one is, olot and shlamim, you can bring as many as you want, but when it comes to chataot and ashamot, you should limit them, because you should limit how you you shouldn't get yourself into those situations. Not only does he say this, but there's also a braita that says, etanya namihachi, hokara glecha mibei reyacha, b'chataot v'ashamot ha-katub medaber. Okay, it's talking about chataot and ashamot. So now the brayter raises it as a question, though. Ata omer b'chataot v'ashamot, o ena ela b'olot u'shlamim. Maybe it's also olot and shlamim. You shouldn't bring so many. So now they say, k'shehu omer avo beitecha b'olot, ashalem lecha nedarai, harei olot u'shlamim. Amor, how do we know that it's only chataot and ashamot? This is the exact same thing. It's just learning it in a different manner. It's saying, let's start with the assumption that it's chataot and ashamot. But let's raise the possibility, maybe it's also olot and shlamim. And then they say, oh no, but there's a pasuk that says, come to my house, right? I'm going to come to your house with olot and nidarim. So that seems to imply, okay, so then we end up with this distinction between chataot and ashamot and olot and shlamim. Okay, so now we end up with, that's our explanation of the machloket. Are you allowed to, or is it baltosif to add extra korbanot? Okay. Now we're going to go back to that line that I said we're going to come back to, which is ein yirim chatzaim. Okay, and they learn it mishum shenemar kol zichurcha. So what is chatzaim? Savar of Yosef lemeimar. Whenever it says savar, somebody thought. Okay, it's the same thing at the top of our dafs. Kisvurim anu lemar. We thought this until he came and taught us otherwise. It's always going to be that they thought, and then they found out they were wrong. Rav Yosef thought to say man deile asara banim. If you have 10 sons, you shouldn't come the first day with 5 of them and the next day with the other 5 of them. That's what it means, ein yirim chatzaim. Don't come to appear with half your family and then the other half. Don't split everybody up. You have to come all together. But then, this is a great line, Amar le Abaye. Abaye says to him, pshita, it's obvious. Hey minayu mishav le poshim, behe minayu mishav le zrizim. You're going to create a huge problem of sibling rivalry if you do that. Because who are you going to choose to be the first 5 that are going to be considered the Zrizim? And who are you going to consider to be the second 5 who are going to be the Poshim, that they're lazy and they appear lazy, that they're only coming later? And you're going to create this whole, right? You could almost say it's like Shalom Bayit, right? You're going to create this, wreak havoc in your house because they're all going to be very upset that you're going to make them Poshim and you're going to make them Zrizim. So therefore, you don't need a pasuk to teach you that. Everybody knows it's obvious. It's so interesting, right? Because you might say, teach your kids to learn. Sometimes you get to be first and sometimes you get to be first, right? But in the end, this is such a serious thing. Who comes first to the mikdash? That don't get involved in that. Obviously, you all have to come together, but that's not what the drasha is coming to teach you, because that's too obvious. So what's the pasuk coming to teach us? L'chida acherim, like the opinion of acherim. Titania says in a brayta, acherim umrim, ha-mekametz va-mitzaref nechoshet va-habursi p'turim in ha-riya, sh'ne'emar kol zechorcha. Mi she'chol la'alot in kol zechorcha. Yatzu elu she'en yocholim la'alot in kol zechorcha. We learned this already. These are the people who do jobs that are very smelly, and they smell and people don't want to walk with them. And therefore, what's going to happen? They're going to be walking separately from everybody else, and that's ein yirim chatzain. You can't have the people coming to the mikdash in groups. Like this one's walking on that side of the street, and that one's walking on the other side, and he won't get close to the other ones. And therefore, those people are just patur legamrei. Okay, and that's what we learn from Kol Zechorcha. Okay, and that's what it means ein yirim chatzain. New Mishnah. Olot b'moed ba'im min hachulin. Okay, in order, I need to give a little background before we start this Mishnah. We have what's called Master Shane. We've learned about this before, but we'll review. When you have your crops, so you take Truma for the Kohen, right? Which is either Ayin Tova, Ayin Benonit, or Ayin Ra'ah, which is either 1/40th, 1/50th, or 1/60th of your crops you take give to the Kohen. Then you take Master, you take 1/10th of what's left, and you give it to the Levi. Then you take another 1/10th, and depending on what year you are in the cycle, will affect what you do with that 1/10th. So if you're in years number 1, 2, 4, and 5, you do what's called Maaser Sheni. That Maaser is called Maaser Sheni, which is fruits or crops that you're supposed to bring and eat in Yerushalayim. Now, if you live a certain distance from Yerushalayim, you already aren't expected to schlep this. So you put it on a coin. You transfer the money onto a coin. This is what we do when we do Truma Maaser nowadays. To remember this, we transfer some of the value onto a coin. And then with that coin, you go to Yerushalayim. And now what do you do with that money when you get to Yerushalayim? You have to spend that money. That money is called hekdesh, right? It's holy money, okay, as opposed to chulin, we're going to see. And you have to use that money for foods. It could be meat. It could be for sacrifices. It could be for all sorts of things that you eat in Yerushalayim. Okay? That's the Maaser Sheni. On years number 3 and 6, it's Maaser Ani, and you give it to the poor people. That's what we had the other day when we gave, even on the Shvi'id in the lands of Ammon and Moab that were captured by Sichon, they gave Maaser Ani even in the Shemitah year because they didn't keep Shemitah, but they did keep Maaser, and they said, oh, well, let's give it to the poor people. So now, the question is this. There's a concept which we're going to see in the Gemara in a minute, which is something that's something that's obligatory can't be bought from this hekdesh money. Okay? If you have an obligation to bring a sacrifice, it has to be bought from chulin money, okay, from money that's not anything, and you buy it from there, and then you basically make it holy, right? But you have to take this chova, has to be from chulin. So now what do they say? Olot b'mo'ed, we want to know what of these sacrifices is something that we can buy from this master money. Because think about it, you come for the aliyah l'regel, you have this money, you don't want to waste it on things that you don't need, and you have all these sacrifices you're supposed to bring, so what things are we allowed to buy with this money, and what things are we not allowed? So we'll see that the things that are chova, we're not going to be allowed to, but the things that are reshut, we're going to be allowed to. So now we're going to get into a whole diyun about this. Olot b'moed, olot that you buy, and here we're going to have a bit of an issue later with this word moed. Moed sounds like chola moed, right? But don't you have to bring the ola also on yantif? So why does it say chola moed? We're going to get into that. Olot b'moed ba'ot min achulin. So the olat ri'iyah comes from chulin. You can't buy master. You can't buy from the master money because the olat ri'iyah is a chova. V'hashlamim min ha-ma'aser. But if you remember, we have these shalmei simcha. You're supposed to bring korbanot shlamim b'samachta b'chagecha. That's already more of a reshut. You don't have to. It's not an obligation. And therefore, you can take it from the master. Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Pesach. What about the Chagiga that we bring on Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Pesach? We're going to ask later, what do you mean? They bring the Chagiga also on Yom Yeran Atzeret and also on the first day of Sukkot. So why is it called Yom Tov? Why does it say specifically Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Pesach? We'll get to that at the end of today's daf, or maybe tomorrow. Beit Shammai Omrim Min HaChulin U'Beit Hillel Omrim Min HaMaser. Chagiga is a machloket. Can you bring it from Chulin or can you bring it from the Maser? Okay, that's the first issue, mechlokin in our, the first issue. Can you buy stuff from the maaser or not? The second issue in our Mishnah is, what, when you have this obligation of shalmei simcha, what does that mean? You need to eat meat in, right? You need to eat meat that you bring from sacrifices. Now, what sacrifices count for the shalmei simcha? Okay, so we're going to see in a minute what they mean. Yisrael, if you're a Yisrael and not a Kohen, Yotzim yedei, or here this also could be Kohanim, Yotzim yedei chovatam benidarim u'nidavot. Let's say during the year you say, I'm taking upon myself a neder to bring an animal, okay, to the Beit HaMikdash. When are you going to do that? You're not going to do that that day. You're not in the Beit HaMikdash. So what did people generally do? When they got to the Mikdash for Aliyah LaRegel, they would pay up their dues of all the stuff they had to take care of. So if you have nidarim u'nidavot that you promised you were going to bring beforehand, and you're in the Beit HaMikdash, right, on the Regel, we can use the meat from that to count for our Shalmei Simcha. Okay? You kind of get kill two birds with one stone. Because really, what's the Shalmei Simcha? We just want to make sure you have meat to eat on the holiday. Right? And better to do it with a korban. So here you bring a korban anyway. You don't need to bring an extra korban. That's sufficient. So Yisrael, b'nidarim u'nidavot. What else? Maser behemah. 3 times a year, you're supposed to go through all your animals and take 1/10 of every animal and put them aside. And that 1/10 of every, right, you'll put a siman on it. And those animals you're supposed to also bring up to Yerushalayim, or again, you know, be po down a coin and buy an animal there. And bring those animals and eat them, sacrifice them in the Beit HaMikdash, and then eat them. They were for you to eat. So again, you can use this. These are all cases of korbanot that you're chayav to bring, that are for you to eat. So therefore, they obviously count as your Shalmei Simcha. Ba'kohanim, the Kohanim get extra, though. What do they get? They get all those, right? If the Kohen said, I'm going to bring a neder and a davar, his Maser Behemah. Well, I don't think a Kohen brought Maser Behemah, or maybe he did. Don't remember. But the Kohanim have additional things. The Chataot and the Ashamot. What happens with the Chataot and the Ashamot? Part gets burned, and part goes to the Kohen. Okay? And the owner eats nothing of it. So obviously the owner can't fulfill his obligation through that, the Yisrael, but the Kohen can. And b'bechor, again, the bechor of every, right, of your animals, the firstborn, goes to the Kohen, and he has to bring a sacrifice, and then he gets to eat it. So again, the bechor. The chazen, the shok, that's the parts of a regular shlamim that a regular person brings. The chazen, the shok, I remember we said they're divided into three. Part gets burned on the mizbeach. The chazen, the shok, and the, supposed to be the zera and the chayayim, but I guess that's not considered meat, so therefore maybe that's not part of the, I don't know why it doesn't say that. But the chazen, the shok, go to the kohen, so he can be yotzei eschiyuv with that. Avalo, but what can't he? Be'ofot velo b'menachot. Okay, nobody, not the Israel, not the kohen, they can't fulfill their obligation with of. Shalmei simcha means meat, not chicken. And lo b'menachot, and not from the mix of the flour and water stuff. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to start asking about this first thing we learned about the olot b'moed. El olot b'moed, hu deba'ot menachulim. What does it mean? What does the Gemara assume right away? It says olot b'moed ba'ot menachulim. If olot b'moed ba'ot menachulim, what about the olot that go on Yom Tov? It must be that the olot that you bring on Yom Tov, habayom tov min ha-maaser. You can bring from the maaser. You can buy from maaser money. And how could that possibly be? Amai. Davar shebechovahi. V'chol davar shebechovah ein ava ela menachulin. How could it possibly be that you could buy your ola on yantif from the chulin? It's not possible. So I just want to make clear what's going on. It says in the Mishnah, olot b'moed. Okay? Because it says this word b'moed, they assume only b'moed it comes from the chulin. But therefore, if it were on Yom Tov, it would be able to be bought from the maaser, right? And this, they say, is not possible. It's totally impossible because this is a davar shel chovah. And the whole reason why it has to be bought from chulin is because it's chovah. So what would it make a difference if it's on Yom Tov or Chol HaMoed? So they say this can't possibly be the case. So they say it must be something else. So first they give a possible explanation, which they reject. V'chi tema. Maybe it's coming, if you want to say, that's Pachitema, that Hakamashma, this Mishnah added the word b'moed for what reason? Not because if you did an anyantif, you'd be able to buy from Maser, but because it wanted to teach you, de'olot b'moed ba'ot, b'yom tovenam ba'ot. maybe it's coming to teach you that you can't bring your Ola Riyah on Yantif. It's Asur. Okay, why would it be Asur? Because it's a korban, right? You have to do malacha. In general, we have this principle that, you know, the korban tamid and the korbanot you're supposed to do on Shabbat or docha Shabbat, and the korbanot they're specifically for the moed, you're allowed to do on the moed. But maybe you want to say that Ola Riyah, it doesn't have to be done on Yom Tov, it can be done on the next day. It's an obligation for the Chag. The Chag has days of Chol HaMoed. Adif to do it on Chol HaMoed. Maybe you want to say that, but that doesn't make any sense that you would say that. Why? Because then you'd be that's what our mission is coming to teach us. In other words, that Olot b'Moed ba'om and Achulin, meaning that Olot you can only bring on the Moed and you can't do them on Yom Tov. But then our Mishnah would be according to Beit Shammai. Keman ke Beit Shammai. Ditznan, because there's a machloket Beit Shammai Beit Hillel specifically on this issue. If you remember, we learned this in Beitza. I think we also learned it in. Yeah, we learned it in Megillah also. Beit Shammai Omrim, Mivim Shlamim, Ve'ein Somchim Alehen. Beit Shammai says, on Yom Tov, you're allowed to bring Shlamim, but you can't do Smicha. Okay, Smicha was where they put all their weight on the Korban. That was considered like a malacha, they didn't allow it. But Shlamim, you're allowed to bring. Why? Why wouldn't you be allowed to bring shlamim? You eat them on the holiday, and you're allowed to shecht an animal to eat, so you're obviously allowed to shecht the shlamim, because you can eat them. But you can see where this is going. Avalo olot. Why not olot? Because you don't eat them. They're all burned on the mizbeach. Because you don't eat them, there's no hetzer of ochal nefesh. And he doesn't think there's a problem, that there's an issue, you'll just do them tomorrow on Chol HaMoed. Ubeit Hillel omrin, mibi'im shlamim ve'olot v'somchim alein. He says you can do everything. Okay, the korbanot or docha yom tov also. So now you see that if you wanted to give that explanation, that our Mishnah says that olot you can't do on yantif. Well, then that's basically Beit Shammai. It doesn't make sense that a stam Mishnah would go like Beit Shammai because we don't hold by Beit Shammai. So now they have to give a different explanation. So what do they say? Chisura machashav hachikatani. We saw this a few days ago, right? The Mishnah is missing words, and really, okay. And here I charted this all out so you can see. Originally, our Mishnah looked like this. Okay, the first chart I have here. Olot, everyone agrees min achulin. Shlamim, everyone agrees min amaser. And Yom Tov Rishon Shal Pesach, there's a machloket. Now we're going to say that our Mishnah is really talking about, if you look at the Chisur Machasra, the answer here, you see it's talking about two issues. It's not just one issue, can you buy things from Chulin or not? It's talking about, number one, can you bring stuff on the Moed? And number two, can you buy them from the maser or not? Okay, and that's what's missing. Olot nidarim unidavot b'moed ba'ot ba'ot. Now we're talking about not olot re'iyah. Okay, first we're talking about when it says olot b'moed, it's talking about general olot. Okay, what kind of olot? Like a neder and a nidava. You say I'm going to bring korbans, right? I'm going to bring this behemah. It's a neder, it's a nidava, it's a korban ola. Okay, and then you come to the Mikdash on Yom Tov, right? On the first day of Chag, you want to bring your Ola Riyah, and you're already bringing sacrifices, you're already there. You say, oh, I'm already here today, let me bring also my Nidarim and Nidavot. So the Mishnah is teaching us, Olot Nidarim and Nidavot b'moed ba'ot, b'yom tov einam ba'ot. So the word Olot b'moed first is talking about the Olot that you want to bring, the Nidarim and Nidavot, not the Ola Riyah, and it's telling you that those you can bring on the Moed and you can't bring them on Yom Tov. The Ola Re'iyah ba afilu b'yom tov. But the Ola Re'iyah can even be brought on Yom Tov as opposed to these Olot. Okay? Now comes the second part, which is what we thought was really the only part of the Mishnah. Ukishe hi ba, when you bring the Ola Re'iyah even on Yom Tov, ein ba element of chulin. You can only buy it from chulin. Okay? In which case, right? So they're splitting this sentence of Olot b'moed min achulin is really Olot of Nidarim and Nidavot, you can only bring on the Moed. Then now we're done with this word Moed. Okay, and your Olot Re'iyah that you can bring any day only comes from the Chulin because it's a Chovah. Okay, and that's how the Mishnah should read. Okay, let's continue. Now they're just reading the rest of the Mishnah. B'sham esim chabain af min amaser v'chagiga yom tov rishon shel pesach b'sham yom rimin achulin b'hilam rimin amaser. Okay, that's the rest of it, which we already know. Now, just like we had the last time we had a chisur machasra v'hachi katane, they said, it's not just that we're making this up and we think this, right, or we have some masoret, but there's even a braita that says exactly this, supports our claim. Tanya nami hachi, right, Tanya nami hachi always means there's a braita just like this. Olot nidarim unidavot b'moed ba'ot, b'yom tov einan ba'ot, v'olat ri'ya ba'afilu b'yom tov, וכשהיא באה, אין הבאה, אלא מן החולין. ושם השמחה באין, אף מן המעשר, וחגיגה יום טוב ראשון של פסח, ושם ימים מן החולין, בין הלום מן המעשר. It's exactly what we said. Okay, 100%, the Braita matches up exactly to how we read the Mishnah now, this new reading of the Mishnah. Okay, in which case, the word moed, again, is coming to teach us about the other stuff that you're not allowed to bring on Yantif, because it doesn't have to do, right? It was a good opportunity, you're in the Mikdash anyway, but don't do that on Yantif, only on Chol HaMoed. Okay, last line, we'll finish up. Mishnah, now why does the Mishnah use the words Chagiga Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Pesach? It's very bizarre. Okay, now this we have to remind ourselves of what we learned when we were in Pesachim. If you remember, there were two Chagigot that we brought. Okay? There's the Chagiga on Tevav, which is the same Chagiga that we're obligated in on Tevav Tishrei, on Sukkot, and also on Shavuot. That's for the Chag. But if you recall, we talked about that the Korban Pesach has to be eaten ala sova. Remember that means? You have to eat it with a full stomach. Now what happened? They did them in Chaburot. Now what if you had a big Chabura, you didn't have a big animal, and everybody got, we talked about the minimum you have to eat of the animal was a Kazayit. But a kezayit is not sova. So if you didn't have enough of that one animal that you sacrificed for Korban Pesach, they would bring chagigah on Yudalit, because you have to remember, Yudalit is Erev Pesach, Tevav is the first day of Pesach. If you bring your sacrifice on Tevav, you only eat it later in the day or at night. On Yudalit was when they sacrificed the Korban Pesach, and they would sacrifice the chagigah if they needed it, together with the Korban Pesach on Yudalit. So there's Chagigah Yudalit, and there's Chagigah Tevav, and they're not to be confused. They're two totally different things. One is an obligation of the Chag, and one is an obligation, well, not even an obligation. It's only in the case that you don't have enough meat, it's not really an obligation. And now we're going to see why it's critical, because one is not obligatory, and one is obligatory. If it's obligatory, then you can't take it from the master money, because it's a chovah. It's something that's a chovah, you can't take from the master money. If it's not obligatory, then you can take it. So that's what they're going to say. Ma'ishna chagiga yom tov rishon shel pesach. Amar Ravashi, ha-kamash v'an chagiga chamisha asar in. The chagiga chamisha asar is the one that you can take from, we're going to see this after. We'll get into this tomorrow. But let's just talk about it right now very simply, and I'll explain it more tomorrow when we have more time. Chagiga Chamishasar in Chagiga Arbasalo. It's relating here specifically to the Chagiga of Chamishasar and not to the Chagiga of Arbasar. Okay, and Alma Kasavar, and therefore this must mean that, again, now here we're going to see, I explained a little more simply, but there's actually machloket about Yudalit, if it's a chovah or not. Okay, some people think it is a chovah. But Alma Kasavar, it must be that the person who wrote this Mishnah hold the Chagigat Arbasar lav de'oraita. It's not de'oraita, and that's a Chagigat Arbasar. There's an opinion of Beit Hillel that can be bought, that even Beit Shammai would agree that it can be bought from the Maaser. Here Beit Shammai says it's only Minachulin, because here we're talking about the Chagigat of Tevav. We'll have to explain why Beit Hillel think it can be also done from Maaser. We'll get into that tomorrow. That's why I said we'll start simple, but we'll get into more details tomorrow.